Oh, we're so grateful, our Father, for your healing hand in our body, that you want us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Today, Father, help us to grasp your word for our soul to prosper and for us to walk in the revelation that you grant to us by your Spirit. We thank you there's anointing within us and anointing upon us, and they work mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're talking about how to be healed, and these are the ways to be healed. Healed by faith or by gifts. We'll cover gifts at a later time. Faith works for everybody. For God so loved the world that whosoever, anything that's part of the plan of redemption works for whosoever. It works for anybody that will have faith in the plan, that will cling to the plan. Now, you can have faith in the word alone, and we see that in Matthew chapter 8, where the centurion sent to Jesus on behalf of his servant who said was grievously tormented. The interesting thing about that word servant, it refers to a child or someone very young. So I would say, just guessing, this is someone that was very dear to him, very important to him. It wasn't an older servant. It was someone very young. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. He said, no, don't come to my house. He said, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Speak the word only. See, the word of God is anointed. It is live. It has power. And it impacts your spirit. And it will heal you. And as you continually meditate in the word and make the word a permanent part of your life, and if you have a healing need, you read healing scriptures and you camp out there. It says we meditate day and night, which simply means we camp out. And we light the fire of the word. We sit by the living water. And we allow it to impact our heart over and over and over again. We got a thank you note this week from a gentleman who said that his faith had been kindled. And he knew that he knew that he was healed. And that's what the word does for you. It kindles your faith. It anchors your faith. But you have to be steadfast. You know, if your battery's dead on your car, you're not going anywhere, right? We have a truck. It's a 2001. It doesn't leave home. It does go to Lowe's. But it stays in the at the house, in the yard, and so forth. And the other day, Wayne went to crank it because it hadn't been cranked in a while. It wouldn't crank. See, and that's the way your heart is. Your spirit is your inward man if you haven't read the word in a while. You can't neglect the word and get the benefit of the kingdom. So we're going to camp out in the word and allow the word. It says the word is alive. The word in the King James is quick. It's like the quick of your nail. It means the word is living. It's living. And it impacts your heart. It says God's word is spirit. John 6:56, I believe. God's word is spirit. In other words, it's a spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings you the revelation of the word, and the Holy Spirit brings the word, which is spirit, to impact your spirit. And from your spirit, it can flow into your body and impact your body and begin to change your body. And whether it's instant, which is my favorite way, instant. Amen. But instant sometimes is about as quick as the line at one of your restaurants. And it says faith and patience inherits the promise. So I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not relinquishing. I'm going forward. I'm holding fast to the word. I'm reading it every day. I'm camping out there. And usually there's a place that God has you camp out. There's a word in season. You know, you open your refrigerator because you want a snack. And you really weren't thinking cottage cheese. Right? But what you were thinking was fruit or a piece of cake. Or you open the pantry, you're thinking cookies. See, but God is pacing your healing. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't neglected you. He is going to bring your healing, and he wants you to camp out and to hold fast and to not give up and not quit. The scripture talks about faith and patience, and they're a team. Patience is when you hang in there. You know the saying, we can all hang together or we'll all hang separately? Right. The body of Christ is equipped to hang with you. Now, faith is always spoken. It's vocal. It has a voice. So we'll be glad to add our voice to your voice, but you have to be cranked up and talking too. We're not talking for you. We're talking with you. We're a part of your victory because we're standing by your side. Now, when you go to Matthew chapter 8, that's where the centurion's servant was. And Jesus said, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it unto you." As you have believed, he said, whatever you believe. Did you know God says, whatever you desire when you pray that you believe you receive, you shall have? Do you know he pays attention to what you want? What things soever you desire. That means when I pray, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's what the scripture says. And when I pray, I know I'm praying within the confines of God's will. In other words, I'm praying for you. I'm not going to pray that that God kills you, because it's the thief that kills, steal, and destroy. I'm going to pray within the boundaries of God's will. And when I pray for myself, I'm going to pray what I desire, but what I desire is within the boundaries and the confines of the will of God. It doesn't contradict. You can't contradict God's word and win. Yes. Now, I'm not going where I thought I was going, but anyway, in John chapter 5, you have the man that was healed by gifts. Gifts is what God does because he wanted to. He decided to. He knew it was best. A gift does not work by faith. You can't order a gift, just like you can't invite me to your birthday party or your open house. Would you like to have open house on your new house? Anybody? Anybody? We'll agree with you. Gift is what God gives because he decides. Now this man, verse 5, a certain man was there with an infirmity. 38 years. That's a long time to suffer. 5 minutes is a long time. Have you noticed that? Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. How did Jesus know he had been there a long time? By the Spirit. When Jesus came, he laid aside his mighty power and glory. That's in Philippians 2. He said, the King James says, he made himself of no reputation. You have a reputation for something. You're a great cook. You're a wonderful hostess. You're a great mechanic. But when we think of you, we think, wow, she is such a wonderful hostess and bakes such a wonderful chocolate sour cream cake. Mm-hmm. Or pound cake. 3 cups sugar, 3 cups flour, 2 sticks of butter, 6 eggs. You know how I know that? And I've forgotten. Sour cream. It takes sour cream. And you know her by what she's good at or what he's good at. And said, Jesus made himself what he was good at. He was good at being God. He was good at being God, and he is still God, but he doesn't come with the power of God. He laid aside his mighty power and glory, that's what your translation is going to say, made himself of no reputation. He became a servant, and he came to do the will of the Father. And when Jesus, if you read through the book of John, it says he did the will of God, he spoke the word of God, and he did the work of God. So Jesus was hearing by the Spirit what his Father had to say. And the reason he chose this man is because God said so. Now, when he healed this man by gift, not by faith. Faith is what you believe. I'm going to show you this man didn't believe anything. He healed him by gift. He gave it to him. Why? Because God told him to. And he's doing exactly what God told him to. And the only reason Jesus can do this is because the power of God came upon him when he was baptized. You remember that in Luke chapter 3. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And when the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. The anointing of God is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in lives. It's the Holy Spirit that comes upon you so you can do the work of God. And so with the Holy Spirit upon him, he was baptized. And then he went into the wilderness, and it says, you don't have to turn from John. I will read it to you. He went into the wilderness being full of the Holy Ghost. When did he get full of the Holy Ghost? The day he was baptized. Amen. And then he was tempted. He was there 40 days. And when he left, it says the devil left him for a season. The devil's pretty persistent. I know you know that. But he returned in the power of the Spirit. He was there in the power of the Spirit. He faced difficulty in the power of the Spirit. And when it was all done and said, it was the power of the Spirit that held him steady and put him over. You see, as you get in the Word of God and you allow the Spirit of God to teach you and to guide you through the Scriptures, and as you pray in the Spirit, pray in English and pray in your understanding, pray in other tongues, then you're built up, it says in Jude, you're built up on your most holy faith. Have you ever needed a faith boost? Well, I have. It's usually about 3 a.m. when I'm supposed to be sleeping, I have to teach the next day. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord I shall not want. Doesn't say I might not, I could not. I hope this works. Got my fingers crossed. Whatever I need to do the will and plan of God, for to affect it in my life and to be an instrument in your life, because I'm a called teacher, is what God is going to do through me. And I trust Him that even when I don't feel, it says we walk by faith and not, so I don't feel very healed. I don't feel like this lesson is going to go over real well, or I didn't sleep real well. I don't know if I can keep my eyes open to teach. That's never happened to you, right? Well, one time I crawled back in bed and told Wayne, call me at 9:45. And God always puts you over. He always puts you over. Now, you see, He was full of the Spirit. And when you go to this instant, this man in John 5, the Father would have said, He said He knew He'd been there a long time. How did He know that? By the Spirit. Because the Father notified Him. This man's been here a long time. He didn't do anything. He didn't know anything on his own. He is God, 100% God, but He's functioning under the power of the Spirit that God has sent to Him, and not functioning under the power that was in Him because of being God. That's why when He tells us, the works that I do shall you do also, we can do that the same way He did it. We're going to listen to God and do what God said. God said, lay hands on him. We're going to lay hands on him. He says, pray for him. If He says, don't talk to him, just pray for him when you get home. Or if He says, send him an apple pie. You know, I just soon not tell me, God not tell me to bake apple pie. You know that? But He did. Took me 3 days to talk myself into obedience. It was a terrible moment. And then it was very interesting. It was my neighbor who's now since with the Lord. Now look, Jesus saw him lying there. He said, will you be made whole? Will you be healed? Now, faith knows. If he's walking by faith, he knows that healing belongs to him, that Jesus is there, that he's a healer, and he will be healed. And you know what he said? I don't know. I don't have anybody to help me. Everybody that got in the pool, the first one in the pool was healed. He said, I can't be first. I can never be first. I can never get there by myself. I don't have anybody to help me. Does that sound like faith to you? It's not any faith at all. Now, they found this old boy. You know, the Pharisees are always up to something. Jesus told him to carry his bed, take up his bed. He ignored the fact that the man had no faith, that the man said, I can't be healed, nobody's helping me. And he said, rise and walk. So he gave him a gift, because God said, give him a gift. Now, Deuteronomy 29:21 says, this is very important to you. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Some things God doesn't tell. And if he doesn't tell you, let me delicately say, it's none of your business. Just saying. So the secret thing, so we don't know. We don't know. We know, first of all, God's a merciful and a gracious Father, and He's merciful. And when He sees someone suffering, He wants them healed. He wants them well. That's His heart of love. That's who He is. We know that's always the case. But there are a lot of other reasons. And I'll tell you, anytime I've seen the gifts work, it sparks faith in the people around them. Suddenly, when they rise up, lady rose up out of a wheelchair at a meeting we were at, and the minister came by and he stared at her. He never said a word. And he paced back and forth in the wheel. There was a whole section of wheelchairs. We were up in the risers. We had good view. And he'd come back again, he'd just stare. And he did that a lot of times. You know what old women do? They throw their sweater around their neck. They don't put their arms in it. You remember that? Does anybody but me remember that?
Yes.
Okay, two of us, that's good, three of us. So she handed her sweater to somebody who obviously had brought her, and he came by and he said, are you going to get up or not? That's pretty blunt, isn't it? You can discern the will of God from that. So she got up and walked. It was amazing. It was amazing. See, God has reasons and purposes, and all across, it was about 10,000 people there, and all across, faith began to work over here and over here. Somebody that had some knowledge had, you know, they had their faith. Have you ever had your faith on hold? That's one of the primary things it does. It causes faith to be sparked. So he told this man to get up, and there isn't any faith here. So they called him on a Sunday, and they said, oh, why did you do that on the Sunday? And he said, who healed you? Who told you to get up? And he said, I don't know. He didn't have any idea who Jesus was. He didn't have any idea who he was. Does that sound like faith to you? It was a gift. God just gave it to him. Now, there was a couple, they were alcoholics, confirmed alcoholics. And he worked with some Christian people that bugged him. And finally, they wanted him to go to a businessmen's meeting where they would have a guest speaker, you know, Christian businessmen. And he finally consented because he thought if he consented, they'd go away and leave him alone. That's what he wanted. Go away. He was an alcoholic and he didn't need any help, he thought. Well, he finally consented and they took him and they said, would you like for this man that's speaking to pray for you? And he thought, well, the more I consent, the more I'm cooperative, the more they'll leave me alone. So he had the man pray for him. He never drank another drop of alcohol after that. Wow. Not one drop. And his wife finally said, why are you not drinking? She was an alcoholic as well. And he told her, and she said, would they pray for me? Would they pray for me? So they came, prayed for her, and she didn't drink anymore. Wow. Now, they were neither one in faith. They weren't in faith. It was a gift. Why did God do that? Well, I'll tell you one reason I know. Over time, they won every single member of their family to the Lord. They had basically a non-Christian family. I heard over 100 people. I'm not sure that would be right. But a large family, and every single one by one, they brought them into the kingdom with their witness. See, that was one purpose of that gift to that family. God has a purpose and a reason for gifts, but he said, some things are between me and the people. The secret things belong unto the Lord. Well, verse 14. Jesus said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing came upon thee, comes unto thee. What was one of the factors in disease? He had opened the door of disease somehow through sin. If you go from man to man, woman to woman, you're going to get some strange disease. And you can't blame that on God. You can blame it on your own personal choices, you see. And so we have to be very careful to stay in the Word, to walk with God, to honor the gifts. And this was just a straight gift, something God decided to do. He told Jesus, and Jesus effected it. Now, if you look back, that's for some people. See, when people say, you know, God is sovereign, you know what they're saying? If he gives me a gift, fine. If he doesn't give me a gift, he didn't want me to have a gift. If he gives me a gift, he wanted me to be whole. If he didn't give me a gift, he didn't want me to be whole. And they're so confused doctrinally. God is indeed sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he said, if you stand by faith, I will heal you. Healing is paid for. It belongs to you. It belongs to you from the cross. And if you stand by faith, everyone in faith is healed. Everyone in faith can be healed. And if you say God is sovereign, you're just ducking out. Did I make that clear to you? Yes. Anybody? Yes. Say, huh? Yes. He is sovereign, and the sovereign God laid aside his mighty power and glory, made himself of no reputation. He came as a servant. He came in human flesh. Now, the reason they couldn't kill Jesus, they couldn't kill him until sin was laid on him. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity. Our sin was laid on him. There was a juncture. Many say at the Garden of Gethsemane, but we don't have proof of that. But there was a juncture in which the sin of the world. And the reason they couldn't kill him and he kept escaping, though they tried to kill him, is because he was without sin. That's amazing, isn't it? But they didn't really kill him. It says in John 14, he laid aside. He surrendered himself to die for the sins of the world. Now, if you go to Isaiah 53:6, maybe it's 5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. We're familiar with that. Sin, iniquity, transgression, whatever word you use. He was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The translators say, everything that was necessary to bring peace to you was done by him. Amen. Now, that word peace is not simply peace of mind. It's to prosper. It means to have a successful trip through life. It's the same thing you would say if you rented me downtown and we talked a few minutes and I said to you, have a good day. I want everything in your day to go well for you. That's what I meant when I said that. Have a good day. I want you to get all your errands accomplished. I want you to find everything you need. I want you to find a parking space. You know, if you're waiting with your little arrow and somebody pulls in your space, have you ever had that happen to you? That's where you go to, quickly go to 1 Corinthians 13, be angry and sin not, you know? You think, In Ephesians. Now, he said, everything that would bring peace to you was on him. That means if I walk with him in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on my way, when I do his good will, he abides with me still with all who will trust and obey. You know that old song? Me and Miss Melinda do. Oh, hallelujah. So if I walk, it says, as my soul prospers, prosper. My soul prospers. When your soul prospers, your mind, will, and emotions, your mind is being renewed and you're grasping the word of God. You know more and more. When your soul prospers, the next verse says, even as you walk in the truth. In other words, I know the will of God. I'm supposed to be in health and prosper. Now I can be healed any of these ways. This maybe. You can't choose gifts. But this you can choose. You can be healed by faith in the word, faith in the anointing, or faith in prayer. Now, the anointing of God in Luke chapter 4, Jesus came and was anointed. He was anointed at his baptism. The anointing of God is the Holy Spirit on you to do the work that you're supposed to do. All the fivefold ministry have an anointing that's consistent with the office they're called to, the pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, prophet. And they have an anointing to do that job. I studied a long time before I saw anything because we were denominational. And some things weren't clear to me until they were visual. And I was watching, they had a Christian TV channel and they had a money thing. And I was watching, and everybody that taught was preaching, you know. And then this gentleman got up, he was next, and he said, point one, point two, point three. And it suddenly dawned on me, the difference in the anointing. He was anointed teacher. They were anointed preachers. And the anointing that comes upon them is consistent with the job they're supposed to do. Now, you are a layman, but anointing comes upon you if there's something God wants you to do. You don't walk alone. Thank God for that. Thank God. Now, in chapter 4 of Luke, are you there? Jesus went into his... to Galilee. He was raised in Nazareth, and he went to the temple, and he's reading Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me. Where did the anointing come from? Where did the power come from? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. The Spirit is upon me, has anointed me. So the anointing came from the Spirit, which was upon his life. Now here's the interesting thing. John 3, I believe it's 36, said he was anointed without measure. Now, a pastor is anointed by measure. He's anointed to pastor. Teacher's anointed to teach. He doesn't have the full scope of the anointing. He doesn't have every anointing in the market. But Jesus did. Anointed without measure. Now, when you bake a cake, you measure things. You can't put 4 cups of flour in the sour cream cake. It won't come out right. You measure. So I have a measure of anointing, but I'm not anointing to pastor. And every now and then they ask me to come. They used to in the early days. They asked me to come talk to a lady, and I think, Oh, no, I am not anointed to give advice. Now, you said, you know, you were going to commit adultery and you thought God approved of it because your husband was mean to you. I can help you. I can help you. But some things are so complicated, I want to say, where's the anointed counselor? I'm not her. I'm not her. One lady had a complicated problem. I felt sorry for her, and I said, I will pray for you until God answers me. And I did pray, and he did answer me. He told me exactly what was going on. And when I called her on the phone, she would not talk to me anymore. See, there was a season when she was ready to act, and she passed that by. Now she's going to go back to suffering. See, we have to have an anointing to do our job. Whatever God calls you to do, even if he only calls you to do it one time and you're only anointed one time, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and anoints you. Say, well, I feel that. Maybe so. Maybe not. And then it says the Spirit came upon him because it anointed him to preach the gospel. He was anointed in every office without measure to preach and to heal the sick. Those are the two things mentioned here. to preach and to heal. And of course, that would include his teaching ministry. He was anointed in all avenues. And the reason he had to be anointed is because he laid aside, don't forget that, his mighty power and glory. So when he says, the works I do, can you do? I'm going to do them. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me and gives me something to do, then he is going to fill my life with enough anointing to do it. You see that. Now, here's the characteristics of the anointing. We know faith in the Word. We covered that last week. It's when God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And when God said it, I begin to say it. By His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes, I was healed. See, when Isaiah talked about, he said, sins and iniquities, peace, are prospered in every aspect. That's what that means. And healing. It's all paid for. If I bought something for you and I said, would you call her and tell her that this is paid for to come get it? Me, I'd be, even if I wondered if this was a mistake, I'd be curious enough to truck up and see what it was. And it's all paid for. But you have to access it with your faith. These are all accessed by faith. They're accessed because you believe what God said. You believe in the anointing. You believe in the Word, which is anointed, by the way. And you believe in prayer because God said, I will answer prayer. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive, you shall have. Not you might have. You will have. All of these work by faith, and faith always has a voice. Faith is when I know what God said, and I begin to voice and say what God said. Now, the anointing is first of all stored. Look at Mark chapter 5. Am I making this clear to you? Yes. This is a woman with the issue of blood, and she was healed by the anointing. She had been sick 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. And I always say, I know that doctor. But verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, how do we know she was in faith? We know she had heard. What did she hear? She'd heard everybody touched him was healed. She had heard about the anointing. She had heard about the anointing, that everybody touched him was healed. Now, she's not supposed to be out in public. She can be stoned if she's caught. But see, she's so certain of what she's heard that she sneaks through the crowd to touch him. And she said, see, faith is always vocal. It's always spoken. There isn't anything such as silent faith. There is no silent faith. Now, I don't mean you have to talk to the world. You have to talk at least to the bathroom mirror. Do you do that?
Yes.
Or talk to yourself when you're driving down the road. Just watch where you're going. She said, because faith is vocal. Romans 10 says faith is in the heart and in the mouth. And if it's just in your heart, you've meditated in the Word and you know what God said and you're excited about what God said, but you're not saying what God said, you're going to be crippled. Your faith is going to have obstacles. It's going to have roadblocks because it has to be said. Well, listen, if you're really excited about something, we can't shut you up. 9 out of 10 people are they're going to tell you. And then if they already told you once and you said, yeah, we discussed that, they're going to tell you again. They have to tell it again. I thought, yeah, I remember that. You said that. I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to tell me this whole thing again. We already discussed this earlier. And they're going to, because they're, and if I was at a lady's house and she was baking some kind of a pound cake, and I'm a pound cake lover. I have recipes for strawberry pound cake, chocolate pound cake, and all kinds of pound cakes. You know there's more than one kind in the world?
Right.
And she's baking a pound cake, and she said, you should have my aunt's pound cake. And I said, I'm sure it's delicious. See, I'm sold for the recipe I'll use. I don't need her recipe. But you better listen. You might need to hear what they had to say. And she said it 3 or 4 or 5 times. She just couldn't. Said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm baking this for my mother. She's going to do blah, blah, blah. I can't cut you a piece, but I wish I could cut you a piece because this is the best pound cake in the whole wide world. And my aunt makes this. You should really have, I'm sorry. You should really have a piece of this, but I can't give you a piece. And I said, okay. Write me down the recipe. So she wrote it down. I took it home, put it in my file where it's been for the last, 35 years. I just did that to shut her up. You know I don't need this. I like my recipe. I'm using my recipe. I did read over it and see what the difference was, if there's any difference and so forth. The reason I did that is because she was so enthused. And when somebody's really enthused, now you can't get me enthused about sports. I like 5 minutes of golf. That's it. I just want to see the greens, the course. And I like that little man that says, we are here on the third. I love that when he whispers. But 5 minutes of greens and whispering, I'm out. But my sister is a sports fan. She knows the coaches, the players, who they came for, what they're qualified, what team they played for last. She knows everything. And because she's enthused, then I try to accommodate her. I become a good listener. And I said, now tell me, what team was he on again? She knows I don't care. I don't. It's all right for you. It's not illegal or immoral. It is really dumb. That's just my opinion. As a little girl said, do you watch the glue commercial, Elmer's glue? The little girl said, she's telling you how good this glue is and you don't want to use any other kind of glue, and she rattles on, and she's just a little girl, maybe 8 or 10, and she said, well, that's just my opinion. And so I have an opinion, you know that, because I'm a fairly opinionated person. Wayne and I were going again, the rules about dressing, and you can't wear blue and black together. That cannot be done. It doesn't bother me if you do that. But it did bother me because Wayne was mistressed. And I said, you're wearing your blue shirt with your black trousers? Oh, my. It's just my opinion. Yeah. She had heard of Jesus and she spoke. It has to be spoken. And then sometimes there's an action. Now, we told you about the man that anointed his eyes with clay and Tony washed at the pool of Siloam. What if he hadn't gone to that pool because he can't see? He's got to get somebody to take him over there, or he's going to stumble on the wayside. What if he'd picked some body of water that was closer? Would he have been healed? No. See, your action has to be ordered by heaven. And it has to be what God has said. And it's always appropriate to shout and praise the Lord.
Yay.
Always you praise him if there's nothing else. Now, I was thinking this week as I was going over some material about Naaman the leper. You know, he went to the king in another country because somebody told him the sick were being healed there. And, of course, the king didn't know anything about that. And so somebody told the king, tell him to go find the prophet. So he went to find the prophet. The prophet didn't even come out and talk to him. He was highly insulted because he was a very important man. And told him to go dip in the river, and it was a very muddy, dirty river, and he said, I don't know why I couldn't go, and he named a couple other rivers because they had clear water. Mm-hmm. And so they made him mad, and he's not going to dip in anything, and he's going to lose his healing. He's going to leave with leprosy because he was not obedient. There is sometimes an action. There's always the voice. Always praise. And sometimes there's an action that has to be obeyed. So finally, his people talked him into going dip in the river, and he dipped 7 times and came up completely healed of leprosy. So obedience is going to profit you. Yes. It is going to profit you. Now, it says, verse 30, immediately, knowing that virtue, which is the Greek word for power, it's dunamis, it's the word that from which our word dynamite comes. Well, you don't have, dynamite's not any danger unless you put fire to it. You notice that? You knew that, right? Even though you don't know anything about dynamite, you know it has to have firepower. See, and your faith has to have voice power. And said, virtue went out of him, and she knew that. Said, she felt in her body. She said it. She acted on it to touch him before she felt it. See, I'm waiting to shout until I feel something. And when I feel better, I'm going to say, oh, that was working, it was working. And you'll never get everything you need that way because the shout and the confession comes before the feeling. Mm-hmm. Feelings are always last. And she felt it. Now, she felt the hem of his garment. That's because this anointing that was on him soaked into his garment. The anointing can be stored and it sinks into the garment. Now, in Acts chapter 19, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the body of Paul. Paul was a tent maker, and when he wasn't preaching, he was making tents. And they took handkerchiefs and aprons. Now, the apron, that was the work apron that he was working on. I expect when he turned his back, they were snipping pieces off it. And the handkerchief would have been his sweatband or the handkerchief that he was wiping his brow with. So they took what he was working with because the anointing had gone from his body. He was anointed, had gone from his body into the handkerchief and the apron. And he said, when they took that handkerchief, that apron, the anointing that was in them was released by their faith, and people were healed, and demons, if it, listen, you don't always have to cast a demon out. It doesn't say demons were cast out. There's several scriptures. They left. The power of God routed them out. It says, and the demons left. They were, Acts 19. But see, the anointing was stored. It had saturated his body and come into that. We had a little man, he was very sick years and years ago. He's gone to heaven now. And he wanted anointed a cloth, and Brother Hagin was in town. So we took his handkerchief over and laid it on the table with all the others, put our name on it, you know, and then we carried it back to him. Well, it must have been a decade later, 10, 12, 15 years later, he got very, very ill. And we went to check on him. He was a bachelor with limited family. And we went to check on him. And he took that anointed cloth out of the middle of his Bible, and he says, do you think there's anything left in this? I said, you know what? I knew how long it had been. I said, we better get you a refill. Well, see, he had faith in that, and that worked for him. That worked for him. Now, this woman had faith, and she said, if I touch him, I will be whole. And she had to take action. She had to speak and take action based upon what she believed. And the anointing was stored. Now the anointing can be perceived. It said she felt in her body. In other words, she knew something had happened. You know, if you drink, what do you want to drink? 3 bottles of water? Because we're non-alcoholic people here, right? That's my opinion. Totally non-alcoholic. And so we're going to drink a lot of water. Well, Wayne has had 3 bouts with heat. It's not called heat stroke. It's the next step under that called heat exhaustion. And so he has to drink, and he's a very poor water person. He was head of your water department, and he doesn't drink water. Is that scary? And so I check on him. I follow him around with the Propel, the bottle of Propel. And then I don't hand it to him because he'll keep on working. He won't drink it. See, I know him. We've been married shortly 58 years. And so I bring him a snack. You know, so he'll have to sit down because he's into snacks. And then I make sure he drinks some of that water. And when Suzanne's working, she knows I stick my head. She works for us. I stick my head in the office and say, I'm going to go feed the yard man. Because you have to have the water to survive, and you have to have the water of the Word in order to be healed. Unless you're going to wait on a gift, which chances are is not coming. Now, ministry of Catherine Kuhlman was by gift. And this little man, he came because his friend needed a ride. She begged him. People were healed in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry on the bus going to the meeting. They didn't even have to get in the auditorium. They were healed on their way there. It was the gift of God. It was what God was doing. Because it draws a crowd. And when you draw a crowd, you can preach Jesus and get them saved. That's part of the reason God does that, and we've got a lot of scripture to prove that. Well, he just was there with his friend, and she got healed. And Miss Kuhlman always lined him up and talked to him. What did you get, and how'd you come, blah, blah, blah. And so she saw him, and he was with this lady, and she said, what do you need? What did you get? He said, well, I was deaf in my left ear, now I can hear. So God healed you. Oh, no, ma'am, God didn't heal me. I don't believe in that. You believe in that? That's phooey. She said, but you came deaf. Yes. And now you're hearing. Yes, very clearly. And she said, so God did heal you. No, ma'am, it was not God. He says, I'm a scientist, and we do not believe in the work of God. And he left healed. Wow. Does that sound like a gift to you? Yeah. Why'd God do that? I have no idea. But I bet there was a reason. Oh, yeah. I bet there was a reason. So I'm not waiting on a gift. I'm exercising my faith. And this woman, she didn't wait on any gift. She exercised her faith. She heard of him. She had faith. She had knowledge. She spoke. And then she took action based upon what she spoke. And then she felt. When she touched him, she felt. It was perceived. Now, he felt it leave him. When you read this, you'll say, he felt it leave him. He felt it leave him. She felt it in her. So the anointing of God can be perceived. When we were in Moscow, this couple came. Their son was very ill, and they came because of him. to the meeting I was teaching at a Bible school. And they brought me a Kleenex, and they wanted me to lay hands on the Kleenex they take to their son. Well, the anointing won't go in Kleenexes. It won't. It just won't work. You can lay your hand on there till Jesus comes. It's not working. It won't work. So she had said, why is that? Well, I don't know. I found the best way to teach is to be honest. First of all, it's paper. It's not material. That's very important to you. Anyway, she had a scarf. All Russians wear a scarf. And I said, would you, if I laid my hands on that scarf, would you take that scarf and lay it on your son? And she said, oh, yes, we could do that. And, of course, she's speaking through an interpreter because my Russian is, I can say das vidanya, and I have to always ask, now, what was it that meant? I don't know if that was hello or goodbye or what that was, something. And so the next night, she was there with her son because of the anointing. Now, this is what happened. When I laid my hands on the end of that scarf, the interpreter took this end, and they took this end. This is the only time it's ever happened in this drama, this dramatic fashion. The anointing went, and they went, oh! The interpreter said, I never felt that before. God demonstrating to show them, this will work for you. This will work for your son. And he was there the next night, and I didn't ask how he felt, but he looked like he was doing all right. He was listening. Now, it can be stored, it can be perceived, and it can be measured. It's tangible. That means it's felt. Now, Jesus said was anointed without measure. That's in John chapter 3. Now, turn to 2 Kings. Let me show you something exciting. This is Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah preceded, and Elijah, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings, where are you? Okay. Elijah's going to heaven. He's not going to die. The Lord is going to take him. And everybody says he went up in a chariot, but you need to go back and read it. It didn't say he went up in a chariot. He said the chariot appeared and he went up in a whirlwind. Right. We have to be careful that we don't. Now in chapter 2 it is. Elijah was in different cities, and he tried to discourage Elijah. All through the first part of the chapter, he said, you stay here. And he said, no, I'm with you. And he'd go to the next city, and he said, you stay here. He said, no, I'm with you. See, he was persistent. That's very important to you. He was persistent because he's after the anointing. And when he came, verse 8, Elijah took his mantle, which was a cape that they wore, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided. So they went through, they crossed the river on dry land, and it wasn't the mantle per se, but it was the anointing. Where did the anointing come from? That mantle was what they wore. We would call it a cape. They wore that all the time. So why did that work for him when he hit the water? Because the mantle had absorbed the anointing. It absorbs, it saturates. Now, and they passed over on dry land. And so he asked in verse 9 to Elijah, he said, what is it I can do for you? And he said, I want a double portion of the anointing. Double portion of the Spirit, because the Spirit brings the anointing. He said, I want a double portion. That tells us what we already could surmise, that the anointing can be measured. Now, it's not always in the same person. It's not always the same measure. Sometimes that's God, and sometimes that's you, and sometimes it's the people. The more we wrap our faith around the minister, the stronger the anointing will be. See, so there's a reason for measures. But he said, I want a double portion. Well, when they were there, and the chariot and the whirlwind came, and he left, and he lost his cape. He probably threw it down. But anyway, Elisha ended up with the mantle of the cape. So when he went back to the river, to cross the river, the same river they had crossed by hitting the water with the cape, he hit the water with the cape and it opened up again. Why? Because Elijah's anointing was in the cape. It saturated the cape. Now, two very wise young men had a father that was very anointed. And they decided, you remember we used to wear ties to church? Does anybody need a demonstration? I'll have Wayne in his suit and tie next week. We saved it, you know, just in case. They're going to take his tie and they're going to cut him in pieces. They're going to sell him. They're going to sell an anointed tie and make some money. How many know that was a bad idea? That was a very poor idea. So when the cape fell, Elisha took the cape that Elijah had parted the water. Now you can go down to Lake Parker and throw any kind of garment you want on it. It's not going to part for you. It parted because the Spirit of God had soaked into it. It had been stored. And he asked a double portion, a double measure of the anointing. And if you read all the miracles of Elijah and you count them and you read all the miracles of Elisha, Elisha did twice as many that are recorded. He got exactly what he asked for. He wanted more anointing, and that's what he got. You see that? Now let me show you in conclusion, chapter 13. As someone said, if this doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. You've heard that saying?
Yeah.
Verse 20. This is not Elijah. Elijah was first. Elisha was second. Elisha had a double anointing. He got it from requesting it from the Lord through Elijah. Elisha died, verse 20, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land in the coming of the year. That means they came in war. They came to bring destruction. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, they beheld the spy of the band. They saw the enemy coming. They brought this man out. They were going to bury him. They usually put him in a cave or something, you know. They cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. So they saw the enemy. They got frightened. We got to get out of here. We can't finish the funeral. They threw the man, and he landed on top of Elisha. And guess what? He stood up. He was totally well, totally back to life. Now, Elisha, he said he landed on Elisha's bones. Elisha had been dead so long, his flesh was gone. It had deteriorated. There's nothing there but a bunch of bones. And the anointing on him was so strong that his bones still had resident anointing. And this man was raised from the dead through the bones. See, we don't ever want to shortcut the anointing. There was a funeral in Africa, and they put, I don't know, because they do things different, but they put the body in the basement. And then in the upper floor, the people were worshiping and having what we would call a memorial service. And I don't know what happened in the basement, but it wasn't any time before the man crawled out of the casket and came and joined the worship service. Now, you say, but I never perceived anything. Did you ever land in the floor? Your body perceived anointing. If you needed a note from heaven, it's not coming. It's in here.